Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted Fairbanks house. A conversation with owner Sherman Mobley. The Fairbanks house in Sicily Island, Louisiana, may seem like a charming relic of the past, but its history is anything but serene. From its construction in 1894 to its eerie reputation today, the house has stood as a silent witness to tragedy, despair, and an overwhelming presence of the unknown. Why did the former owners seal off the upstairs and leave their belongings there? Is it because of the dark entity that lurks upstairs? And what drove Henrietta, a tragic soul confined to her room, to leave behind fragments of a haunting past? Today on The Grave Talks, we talk with owner Sherman Mobley about renovating a haunted house, paranormal encounters, unexplainable phenomena, and the unrelenting spirits that make the Fairbanks house one of Louisiana's most haunted locations. Well, Sherman, thank you so much for joining me tonight to talk about the Fairbanks house in Sicily Island, Louisiana. Where is that in Louisiana?
Just north of Natchez, probably about 25 miles north of Natchez, Mississippi.
It sounds like it would be a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's small, very small.
Very small?
Yes.
So the haunted Fairbanks house, that was built, best I can tell, in 1894. How did you end up with this house?
I sell real estate, and I was trying to sell it to people, and nobody would buy it. They would. Had one guy signed a contract. He went down there, and something chased him out of the house, he said. So he, after about the 10th one, she said, I just need to get rid of it. And I bought it from the last owner. She was just trying, she had moved and she didn't, it had deteriorated quite a bit, so it needed a lot of work. But I've seen it for years. I've always wanted it, but I just want, it came up for sale at a decent price, so I bought it.
Had you heard rumors about it since you grew up nearby?
Oh, yes. Nobody would live there, they said, because it was haunted. It stayed empty for years.
Because I think a lot of us, you know, I grew up in a really little town. In fact, I was the one who lived in the haunted house. But, you know, you would hear stories about houses that were vacant or something. And some of it, you just brushed it off as, oh, I was a kid talking about the haunted house. That's what we all did. Did you feel like there was more to it, though?
Yes, I saw it on the TV several years ago when it was on the Dead Files. And I had been hearing about, there's several houses in that neighborhood just like that. There was abandoned plantations and. But I'd heard plenty of stories about that house.
It's interesting that you were drawn to it and you wanted to, that you ended up buying it.
Yeah, I love the house. I love talking about it.
A lot of times when I'm talking to people about a haunted location, I'll look at the pictures and I'll be like, oh, that place is haunted. I can tell just by looking at the pictures. I would drive by it and say, haunted house. This one, I don't think I would. Not now. You've done some amazing work to this house.
Thank you. Well, it took a long time.
How long have you been working on it?
Since August of last year.
In like looking at the picture, I was like, that's the haunted house? Certainly not. So what was it like? What kind of condition was it like when you got it?
Most of the front porch, half of it was gone. The other half was leaking real bad. The roof was in bad places. Back bedroom had no floor in it. You could stand on the ground on it. Nothing was straight. It's still not straight, but we got it. I got to tell them, it's 130 years old. It's going to be a little crooked.
Actually, with a house 130 years old, you're probably absolutely right. There's nothing you're ever going to do to make it perfectly level.
No.
So when you bought it, did you think, good investment property? Did you think, I want to fix it up and move in? What was your intention with it?
I thought of investment property. I'll buy properties and resell them. But this was, I knew nobody would buy it. And everybody down there said, nobody wants it because it's haunted. And I said, I do. I said, I would love to open that up, like a, open up to tours and stuff.
Yeah.
My wife says I'm crazy. She's been said that from day one. She don't want anything to do with it.
Has she been in it much?
Yes, but she won't spend the night. I haven't spent the night because she won't stay.
I kind of don't blame her, though. I get it.
She was fine until she actually saw something there. She's seen stuff before, but she just tried to, oh, that's a car going by or something. But she finally, she says she saw a man walk by and look at her and went into the front bedroom. And ever since then, she tells everybody she's always wanted a big fine house like that. And I'll go get one that's full of ghosts, she says.
When it was on the dead files, what did they find in the house?
Amy Allen said, when she got out of the car, she said the house was surrounded by slaves. She thought they were slaves, and they were after somebody in the house. Because the ground there used to be the slave quarters for three big major plantations. And where the house stands now used to be the overseer's home. It was there before that house.
So they would have been there looking for him.
Yes, I believe he's in the house. We've contacted him, and I've had several people believe he's real aggressive.
Ooh, I wonder if that's who your wife saw.
I don't know. He seems to be upstairs.
Okay.
The guy downstairs likes to play jokes on people.
Oh, so two totally different things.
Yes. And we've got Henrietta, too. She's upstairs, but she's a completely different story.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about the history of the house. So originally, there was slave quarters there. That got torn down. And then in 1894, this house was completed by
yes.
Henry Fairbanks?
Yes.
Okay.
He lived there until he died in 1899.
Oh, not very long.
No, he had two sons, and February 11th, 1899, his wife had a daughter. That was Henrietta. And he went out to celebrate that night, and he was riding home that night on his horse and fell off in the ditch and inhaled a bunch of muddy water and died 3 days later at the house.
So she lost her husband and had a newborn baby.
Yes.
And Henrietta, she had health problems.
She had epilepsy.
Okay.
Back then, there was no treatment, and she had seizures and caused mental problems. Back then, it was considered, mental, but no medicine.
Mm-mm, there's nothing they could do.
Yeah. So they basically kept her locked upstairs in her room. She would sit at the window on the dormer and look out over the road.
Oh, that just breaks my heart for her.
Yeah.
Because that would be such a lonely life.
Oh, yeah. When she would have episodes, they had a closet up there that they would put her in and lock it until she settled down.
It's horrible because that feels like a punishment.
Yes, I know. They didn't know what to do back then.
Yeah.
You know? They eventually had to put her in the mental hospital because they just couldn't tend to her anymore.
Well, and you know, it seems so cruel to us, but when you have no treatment and nobody can seem to help you and know what to do with her, I don't know. You know, you just don't have resources to deal with her, maybe.
Yes, back then it was kind of considered bad on the family, you know. They kind of keep her hid away.
Well, yeah, they don't want anyone to know they have a daughter with issues.
Yes.
Can't take her to church, can't take her out.
Yes.
Because then they'd have to explain it. There was a couple pictures in the house that I was wondering about because it almost looks like an attic that's been walled off. With kind of a small, almost, you know, you could walk there, but it wasn't like a room size. Like one of them had a mirror at the end of it. Was that kind of up in the attic? Or
yes, that was her room upstairs.
So is that where they locked her in when?
Yes. It's about 10 feet long and has a bench at one end.
Yeah.
And I just sit in there.
Out of sight, out of mind. So she can be in her room. We don't have to bother with her. We'll go check on her later. Oh, that's
yeah.
So sad.
I know it.
And then
her mother had a sad life anyway. It was just Nettie Blackman Fairbanks. She had a really sad, her mother died at the age of 20 when she was a baby. Then her father got killed in a sawmill 2 years later, so she was raised by her grandparents.
Oh my gosh, she never did know her parents then.
No.
So she went on to raise these three kids by herself in this house?
No. Her second son, her first son was Henry. Russell Usher Fairbanks was her first son. Then she had her second son. We're not sure. The courthouse in Catahoula Parish had a fire, and there's no records, but just word of mouth from the family, he was in the year 1900, he fell down the stairs and was killed.
Oh my gosh. So she lost his son, really? Because didn't the dad die around that same time?
Yes, he died in 1899, and then she lost a son in 1900.
Oh my gosh.
He was 3 years old.
I couldn't imagine.
No.
So no wonder there's a lot of activity in the house. There was a lot of sadness in that house.
Yeah, his name was Thomas.
And the other son, did he did okay?
Yes.
Okay.
In 1901, she married Dr. Henry Disch. His parents were from Germany. And he moved into the house with her. And she had two more children with him later on.
Well, you know, and so often back then, you know, it was really hard for a woman. You had to get married she had no income.
Yes.
There's not a lot of choices. So, you know, she remarried pretty quickly because you had to.
Yes. He was a dentist, and he taught her oldest son to be a dentist, Dr. Russell Fairbanks. The house used to face the old road when they built the new highway. His mother passed away in 1932, I believe. And he bought the house from the rest of the family and had it turned around and to face the new highway. And he lived there till 1971 when he loved to go fishing, they said, and I guess he fell out of the boat and drowned.
There was a lot of tragedy in that family.
Yeah, several children were born, you know, died 2 or 3 days later. If you go to the graveyard out there, it just says infant Fairbanks on it.
So how long did the house end up sitting empty? Or did it really sit empty for a long time?
The Fairbanks family owned it till 2012. They tried to rent it out a few times, but nobody would stay.
And everybody kind of saying the same thing, at least is that what you've heard?
Yes, everybody. I can't get it. Hardly get anybody in that town to even come look at it. Some of them say they won't even look at it when they drive by.
That bad?
Yeah. I've heard the same stories. Some of them said they might go downstairs. They'll never go upstairs. And when I bought it, the upstairs was sealed.
It's sealed?
Yes. The previous owners had a priest and a demonologist come in, and he blessed the rooms and put crosses all over all the doors and on the glass going in that room up there. And they had the door shut. And it was just, when I bought it, it was just like it was when she said she hadn't been in there in quite a while upstairs. She didn't get her stuff out when she moved.
You know, that's bad when they don't take their stuff.
Well, she got everything downstairs, but she said she wasn't going back up there.
So something really happened.
Yeah, she
to
said.
To make her never want to go up there.
That's the girl that was on the show that said she was pinned to the ceiling by her throat. So.
Ooh.
She didn't want to go back up there.
Oh, my God, no. I'd be sealing that door, too. I'd be leaving all my stuff. I'd be like, I don't need any of this. I need out of this house.
I was going to leave the crosses on the door, and I got my daughter to come help clean, and she cleaned every one of them off.
So did she throw them away, or did you end up keeping them?
No, they were done with oil, some type of blessing oil.
Oh.
She put Windex and cleaned all the glass. She's like, all them windows clean.
It's like, but we kind of needed that. There was a reason.
I told her, oh, no, you don't let them back in the house. And she said, uh-huh.
Having a house like that, you go in and you see things like that. Was there a point where you're like, what am I doing? Or was it kind of exciting at the same time?
Don't bother me.
Okay.
They don't bother me. I just go on about my business down there. It's one figure that kind of watches you. When you notice him, he just zips away real fast. But I just say, I seen you, and keep on going.
Have you had any kind of paranormal experiences in the past?
Not much. No, I did. I used to live in a house. It was like a residual. At 5 o'clock every day, the back door would open. You'd hear somebody walking through, and then nobody was there.
That's interesting. At 5 o'clock every day.
Yes, every day.
Obviously, it was someone who was getting off work and coming home.
Yes.
But you wouldn't hear them going to work, just coming home from work.
Yeah.
Or wherever they're coming from. But that you kind of just got used to?
Yes, everybody got used to it. We knew what it was.
That's so funny how you can get used to something like that. That's really not normal. But because I know when I was a kid, something would walk at night and we would just hear it. And it always scared me, though. I could never get used to it. And maybe in part because it was at night.
Yes.
And it didn't feel nice. It felt scary to me.
Yes.
You know, and I'm sure there was a time, you know, when you were a kid, it's like, I wish that wouldn't happen. But then you do just kind of get used to it. But when you got this house and you went in there and you saw that was sealed off, was there still, like, her stuff still up there that you had to take care of all that?
Yes, it was. We had to clean it out. And that was Henrietta's room that was up there.
Do you still have some of Henrietta's stuff?
Not really. I did. When I was redoing her closet, there were some broken boards in the floor. And when I pulled them up, I don't know if it was her, but somebody had stuffed pages from an old Bible down through the floor, the cracks in the floorboard, and it was all under that floor in her closet.
Oh, that's interesting.
They just crumble in your hands, though.
It's interesting and a little creepy to find pages of the Bible stashed like that. But then you kind of wonder if it would be Henrietta. Because
I don't know.
She was spent a lot of time in that room.
Yes. Because the Bible, it had a lithograph in it. And we looked it up. The only Bible it was printed in was from 1866. So it's a really old Bible.
But it could have been their family Bible or something, maybe.
That's what I was thinking.
That's interesting.
There was lots of stuff down through that crack in that floor.
Did you feel like because I hear this from a lot of people, when they start renovating a location that is known to be haunted, it really does stir things up. Did you feel like that at all?
Yes, it really got really, really active there.
What kind of things were going on as you were doing the renovations?
We hear a lot of footsteps upstairs, doors slam, stuff gets moved around. Well, my son-in-law, he helps me, and he sees way more than I do. I don't know why, but he's doing the work, so I guess that's kind of, I've gotten a little too old to do all that manual labor. So.
Well, it's hard. It's hard work.
Yeah, I know.
That's a lot.
He just talks to him. I hear him talking up there. I say, who are you talking to? He said, I just seen a little girl walk through here, and I was just talking to her, he said.
When I look at the pictures of what you've done, it's impressive. You have really, really done a lot of work at this house. Because sometimes people will buy a haunted location, and they don't really fix it up much. The plan is to bring in paranormal groups. This is a really nice Airbnb, is what it looks like.
Yes, I just got it open last week, but I've had nobody, it's been paranormal groups coming in. They're really excited about it.
Oh, yeah. They love a new location that hasn't been investigated.
Yes, I've had people from day one, some friends of mine, a paranormal investigator, they wanted in there before I did anything.
Did you let them in?
Yes.
What kind of things did they come across?
They've got a apparition going up the stairs. They caught it with a game camera. It takes a photo every 3 seconds after it's activated. And that is one of the best pictures I've seen. And we tried to recreate it. Other investigator tried to recreate it. And it Nobody can come even close.
And I saw on your Facebook page that you have some infrared cameras in the house. Those are just in the house so people can use those for their investigations.
Yes, that's something new I've seen. And it's really paid off because we had quite a bit of, a lot of orbs been showing up. They only activate with movement.
That's what I thought was interesting. And I was going to ask you about that, if they were motion censored, and they are.
Yes.
Because you have a lot of videos on your Facebook page with very distinct orbs.
Yes, there's a lot of orbs. I see orbs during the day there. You just be walking through and see one.
Do you see them like with your eyes, or is it usually with through the camera?
You can see them with your eyes there.
Really? Because so often you just see those in a picture or a video, but to see them with your own eyes, that's pretty powerful.
Yes.
There's one video, and I tried to pull the audio off of it, but I couldn't get it loud enough so people could really hear it. But you hear this, it sounds like a scream and a thump or thud or something.
Yes, we picked that up twice in Henrietta's room. It's like a loud scream. I put it on Facebook, and a lady said to, she had no idea what I was talking about. And she said, you've got her. That's a, she works in a mental hospital. She said, that is a mental patient acting out. And I said, oh. And that was just a weird coincidence to me.
Because there was nobody in the house.
No.
You know, it's like, and it's interesting because she had been a mental patient.
Yes.
And, you know, because when I heard that and I read a little bit about Henrietta that I saw on your Facebook page, it made me wonder, because it was Henrietta's room, and I'm like, you know, this poor girl suffering from seizures, I think that would be something you would hear in that house.
Yes. Like I said, I caught it once with an audio recorder, and then a paranormal group caught it on their camera.
And that's very validating when you get it. Two times. It's one thing for you to hear it, but for someone else to get it as well.
Yes.
That's pretty powerful. So
quite a bit of activity up there.
And she's up there with whatever this dark thing is.
Ian is what the name we keep getting. I can't figure out who he is, but he is rather nasty up there sometimes when he gets going.
What kind of activity do you attribute to him?
He can knock stuff over. He's thrown a pipe. We've got one investigator come quite a bit. He does not like him. He threw a pipe at him. And he calls him, he calls everybody nasty names. It's not just him. But when he showed, the lights are actually dim sometimes when he shows up. I don't know what's going on. We're still doing some investigating on him, but I can't find any Ian name mentioned anywhere.
You have to think he would have been associated with the plantation that was on the ground before then.
Yes.
But he might not have. He might have been a guy who was born someplace else, coming through and got a job there for a couple years or something, was just a mean, nasty guy.
Yeah, sure. Like I said, on Dead Files, she said there was somebody in there that they were trying to get. And another lady come in, and she said she got the feeling he was an overseer.
Because it's interesting that they want to get to him.
Yes, they want to get him.
And there's a reason they want to get him.
Yeah, he seems to stay upstairs, though. I never had any encounters with him downstairs.
Do you have anything going on outside on the grounds of the property that you've picked up on, or is it pretty much in the house?
They had some SLS cameras pick up some figures out in the yard, but the inside usually... Downstairs, I call him a trickster. He likes to play with you and slam doors. He slammed a door on an investigator a Sunday night, and it scared him pretty bad. Then an orb, right after he left the room, a large orb appeared in the camera.
So it could have been him.
Yes, but he likes to really play games. He'll play with your REM pods and But if you ask him to set off one, he'll set off one in the other room. Then when you go in there, he'll set the one you just left off. And he likes to pretty, I don't know what, it's like it's beep, beep, beep. He likes to, like, he just, like somebody taking their hand, just putting and moving back and forth, back and forth.
It's so interesting to me that you've got such a different energy in the house with the upstairs and the downstairs.
Yes.
And it does make sense. Like with Henrietta, I think that would create such a sad, kind of desperate energy. You know, because she didn't have a happy life.
No, not at all.
And now she's up there with this guy who's just mean and nasty. I always wonder, are they aware of each other? Or does she kind of stick to her room and he leaves her in her room? I just always wonder, what's the dynamic? How come the guy downstairs is kind of a jokester, trickster, has a little bit more fun with people? How can he be in the same house with that guy? You know?
I don't, like I said, we get a lot of activity. We get women's voices, children's voices. But if Ian shows up, the whole house goes quiet. Now, you won't get anything else.
So he does kind of take over everything then.
Yes, he's very aggressive. You know, he gets enough of you, he's just had enough.
And to go to such an extreme as just closing off an area of the house, that's pretty extreme. Like, you're feeling some pretty bad stuff to do that and leave all your belongings behind.
Yes.
Up there. That says a lot. Like, it just seems like this family had a lot of bad luck and bad things happen. Was this kind of going on for a long time with this dark entity?
It kind of quieted down. I've talked with some of the family members now. They said they had very little problems up until, said Dr. Fairbanks had, everybody loved him around there. They had no problems with him or his wife. It seems to gotten worse during the 70s. They said there was somebody was doing seances and Ouija boards. They said it just seemed to get worse.
And you have to wonder, like, did they open up something and let him come in? Did somebody bring something into the house that brought him in?
That's what I was wondering, because the family said there was no problems. Everybody loved Dr. Fairbanks there.
And I think they would have picked up on that.
Yes.
That kind of dark, heavy energy.
And everything there seems to be before he was there. Like I said, I don't know if it was brought in later or awakened there or whatever from the 1800s.
Yeah, it's just, I just am always curious, like, how does it work? Did somebody open up something and allow this negative energy to come into the house? I don't know. I wish I had all the answers.
I do too.
I really do.
We picked up an EVP. We think we were talking with Henrietta. The lights got dim and somebody said, "Where is Ian?" And she, it's like a whisper, said, "He's here." And then it just got quiet after that.
That's interesting. So in that scenario, she does know he's there.
Yes. We have paranormal investigators asked, were they scared of anyone? And it just plain as day said Ian.
Oh, that gave me goosebumps.
Yes.
You know, when
I
you
be stuck with him forever.
See, this is the kind of stuff that I get worried about. Like, because poor Henrietta, you know, her life here was so difficult that she deserves better. She deserved to move on and find peace in whatever happens next. Yes. And not be stuck with something, someone she's afraid of.
Yes, that's why it's just terrible like that. He doesn't seem to stay there. I don't know if he moves around.
Wonder if he kind of comes in and out, you know, since he's more tied, at least possibly, to the land as opposed to the house.
That's what I was thinking. Because sometimes they have paranormal investigation. He'll show up next time, he won't.
Have you kind of found, though, with different investigators, he does seem to be coming back, though?
Yes, he does a lot. my friend Jamie. He does not like Jamie. He's even, we're just having tours, and we just turn on the spirit box to let people see how it works, and he has gotten nasty with people every time, it seems like.
That is so crazy.
Now, he ran my helper down last week, beating on the wall, scared him, he run, and he called him a really nasty name when I went back up there with the spirit box.
How does that make you feel? It's like, I would be like, I'm sorry, my house seems to hate you. You know what? Because it's like, this is my house and I can't fix that. And I'm very sorry because I'm one who would apologize for something like that.
He seems to feed off of people he knows when you're scared. People, it's not, I have no problem with it. He calls me names all the time, I go on about my business. But if he thinks you're scared, it seems like he gets more aggressive with you.
You know, and I have heard that entities like that feed off your fear.
Yes.
And that is a very intense kind of energy that we put off when we're very fearful. And that's what they want.
Yeah. So he beat on the wall and my help run down the stairs wide open. So I had to go back up there with him.
So does Jamie, like, and you said his name was Jamie, your friend, right?
Yes.
So does Jamie come back very often, or is he like, I get it?
Jamie comes back as often as he can.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Sherman Mobley about the haunted Fairbanks house. For more information, visit their website at hauntedfairbankshouse.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything without the commercials, then you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for 3 days free there, or you could also sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.